want to talk tonight about the excuses of Moses. Whoever wants to be a judge of human nature, they should study people's excuses. Where would that leave you? An excuse is an attempt to release from obligation or duty by mitigating circumstances. An explanation offered in defense as a reason for not fulfilling an obligation. You might be interested to know what the top 10 most used in the workplace excuses are. The first one is, I forgot. Fair enough. Second one, no one told me to go ahead. I didn't think it was that important. That's the third one. Wait until the boss comes back and ask him. I didn't know you were in a hurry for it. That's the way we've always done it. That's not my department. How was I to know this was different? I'm waiting for an okay. That's his job, not mine. Those are common excuses put out on the internet on this subject. We all tend to use a variety of reasons to justify not fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. Some might argue they are justifiable, but there will come a time when God grows tired of our attempts to excuse ourselves from our commitment to Him and our lack of obedience to His will. If there's one person in the Bible who came up with excuses not to do what God had called him to do, then it would have to be Moses. He was saved from being killed as a toddler. He was raised in Pharaoh's house. He committed murder. He ran away from Egypt. He got married, had a family. He was settled down. He was content with his life. But then God called him to go back to Egypt to save the Israelites from slavery. And Moses, just like most of us here, had a list of excuses ready to give to God as to the reason why he could not possibly rescue the children of Israel from the hand of the oppressor, from those who treated them like slaves. But as we will see, the excuses did not achieve their goal. Moses, who was God's man, had to do the will of God. There are 5 excuses used by Moses, and I wonder if perhaps even you have used these excuses in your life at some point. The first one is a simple one, the identity excuse, verse 11. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites. No, that's the wrong verse. Verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? If you read back in the previous chapters, Moses has had an experience through the burning bush. An amazing one. This bush on fire, it's not burning up, but it's on fire. And there, God had got his attention. And Moses learns that there is a mission that he needs to fulfill. And guess what? It's way back at the place of failure in Egypt. It seems that God always takes us back to the place of our failures to discover if we've learned to trust Him properly. And as soon as God mentioned Egypt, Moses became unsure of himself. His identity became the crisis point. Who am I, Lord, that I should go to mighty Pharaoh and also deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt? 40 years had passed since Moses had been in Egypt. And out in the wilderness he was a nobody, just a sheep herder. He was 80 years old. And surely by now, he must have known his identity. At least I would have thought he would have. I guess Moses could not handle the fact that somehow he could, might be useful to God. There was nothing complicated in this mission. The plan was clear. God would send him and Moses would bring the people out. What's complicated about that? Easy. And Moses resisted the plan. How often are we just like Moses? God tells us to do something. God tells us to visit someone. God tells us to do something kind for someone. God tells us to speak to someone in his name, to go somewhere. And we opt out using the identity excuse issue. But God made it very clear to Moses. God told him, I will be with you. My presence and my power will be with you. And surely this should be sufficient to help you and I complete the task. God is with us too, isn't he? We claim that we worship a living God, a risen God. Is that not true? If it is true, if we believe in the power of God, then God is with us. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, Paul puts it this way. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Philippians 4:13. You know that verse, don't you? Who's going to tell me what it says? Thank you. Somebody knows it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Everything focuses back to God, doesn't it? And so with this assurance behind us, we can no longer be hiding the identity excuse because God is with us. And God, in fact, would be the deliverer of the people of Israel. Not Moses. God would be the deliverer. The second excuse I noticed here was the ignorance excuse. Verse 13. But Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? Come off it, Moses. Last week you had an experience of God. God, he got your attention for the burning bush. You met with him on holy ground. You learned that he has a mission to fulfill, that he needs you to fulfill. It's way back in the place of failure in Egypt. And he comes up with this ignorance excuse. Who are you? Who are you, Lord? Now, again, we could justify the excuse. After all, last time Moses had put an appearance before the children of Israel, it hadn't gone down too well, if we're honest. Last time he went out and he saw his people, remember, he murdered the Egyptian who was fighting with the Israelites. And the next day, he tries to break up the fight between two Israelites, and they asked him who had made him judge over them. So Moses knew that if he appeared before him again, maybe some questions would be asked, and Moses felt inadequate, and he felt in need of guidance, and God told him what to say. God told Moses his name. Moses was to tell the people, when they inquired as to who God was, God says, tell them, I am has sent you. I am has sent you. The English Bible doesn't do this justice, does it? In Hebrew, the characters spell out the name Yahweh. And God was saying through this name that the only self-existent, preeminent, infinite being in the entire universe is sending you, Moses. You are representing him. And this name would be understood by the people and they would accept Moses. But despite all of that knowledge, Moses felt inadequate. Abraham Lincoln said during the Civil War, "With God I cannot fail. Without God I cannot succeed." And we might feel today that our Bible knowledge is inadequate. But God has given us what to say, hasn't He? He tells us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. We read this message in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 4. "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, that you received and which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you." Listen to this. "As of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." That's the message. There is no other message that we have to share with the people around about us. There is no other message. Because this message is the power of God for salvation. God will give you the words to say. He will bring to your mind what you need to say. Moses used the ignorance excuse, but once again, God dealt with that excuse. Thirdly, the incredulity excuse. "What if they don't believe me?" Chapter 4, verse 1. "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you? Moses seemed to be afraid of failing. He's afraid of being ridiculed, being made a fun of, appearing as a silly old man maybe. And in a sense, this shows his lack of faith in God's help. In fact, you could say that this excuse was an open denial of God's clear promise. What had just happened? The bush was on fire, yet Moses didn't seem to have learned anything. He's heard God's name, yet Moses still doesn't seem to have learned anything. So God gives Moses 3 strong signs. The rod which was in Moses' hand became a snake, and then it returns to being a rod again. His open hand, when put inside his cloak, becomes leprous, like snow, but all withered up when he pulls it out. When he replaces it, and it returns to normal. The water taken from the river and poured onto dry land will become blood on dry ground. These were certainly impressive signs. Wouldn't we like to see some of those signs today? I'd get our neighbors talking and the people we talk to, wouldn't they? They'd listen to us. But you see, fear was keeping Moses back. And God showed him these spectacular signs so that he could believe and that the people who saw the signs would also believe. You see, fear can stop us from sharing the gospel. Fear can cause us to choke at that crucial moment. Now, you might not see the signs that Moses was given. That may not be God's intention for you. But we should remember that the power is in the word. Romans 10:17 says, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ." We must be willing to do our part, and God will do the rest. I cannot create an anxious thought in anybody's heart, but God will do what he has started. God will bring it to completion. His word does not return to him void. We must be willing to do our part, and that includes bringing those who hear the message to himself. Then there's the inadequacy excuse, verse 10 of chapter 4. Who gave man his mouth?
The next excuse that Moses threw into the ring was, listen, follow the story. The next excuse that Moses threw into the ring was that I'm not a good speaker. I bet you all those teachers way back in Egypt and Pharaoh's court would not have liked to have heard that statement. After all, he had been instructed in everything to do with Egypt. I think they would have been, after him. Not a good thing to say. The best gifted teachers around in Pharaoh's court and Moses. Well, I'm not good enough. He had spent so much company around stubborn sheep that now he couldn't communicate anymore. I guess we can all identify with that in some way. But God knew exactly what Moses was like. And yet he still called Moses to this task. God was unmoved by this excuse. It was God's intention to speak through Moses. He would give Moses the power. He would give the words when Moses needed them. You know, sometimes we get so tongue-tied when we have to go and speak in front of someone or a group of people. And so we can identify with Moses here, can't we? Our knees knock. Our mouth becomes dry. We forget what we want to say. Listen to me. It happens to me every week. It happened to the great Apostle Paul as well. That's any consolation. Let me read you something from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul wrote, I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Paul's knees must have been knocking, as mine are all the time at the moment. But God took over, and as we know from Paul's ministry, many, many came to know Christ as Savior. And the church is the product of that, isn't it? And God saw what was going on with Moses. And he asked Moses the question, Moses, who gave man his mouth? Who gave man his mouth? And the answer, of course, is God. And so surely God can equip Moses to say what needs to be said at the right moment. God was saying to Moses that he would be with his mouth, he would guide his tongue, he would give them the exact words to say at the precise moment they were needed. What a great plan. And all Moses has to do is to trust God. To have faith in God. And then we come, fifthly, to the inaccessible excuse, verse 13 of chapter 4. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord, please, send someone else. He's running out of excuses now. He's tried his best, and God has offered him the best solutions. But Moses hasn't finished yet. Let's be blunt about it. Moses simply didn't want to go. He didn't want to go. Now we're getting to the bottom of the issue. He wasn't prepared to go. His accessibility for the job wasn't on because he didn't want to go. Their previous excuses, they were simply smoke screens. He was shrinking his responsibilities. And this angered God. He did not want to do what the Lord wanted him to do. Friends, how easy it is to look around us and point the finger at others and decide that they should serve the Lord. And we don't have to. When God called us as a family to go to Guinea-Bissau, I was in this big mission tent with loads of other people. Then the challenge for mission was there. And about serving the Lord wholeheartedly. And I'm so there and I'm saying, God, I can't serve you any more than I'm already serving you, so this message is not for me. My mistake. And I stepped back from it, and God spoke directly to us. To me. And he said, the speaker said, you may need to move from here to there. I don't know where there is, but you need to go. Oh boy, did I finish my afternoon. I couldn't ignore it. I'd put my barriers down, I'd let everything go, and that was it. And God called us for that time, for such a time as that. So easy, isn't it, to say, send someone else, Lord, not me. And do you know what God did here? He accommodated Moses. But the compromise was actually less than the best. His brother Aaron became the voice. The day would come when Moses would regret that. Because Aaron would encourage the people to make a golden calf and to worship it. So he wasn't necessarily the best choice. But God knew that Moses didn't need Aaron. All he needed was God. All he needed was God. Moses was unwilling, not unable, just unwilling. The only thing that holds us back from doing God's will is us. It's the only thing that holds us back. When God calls us, there is no good excuse for not fulfilling the call that God has put into your life. All we need to do is to be willing to follow God, to fulfill what He asks us to do, to go where He wants us to go. God wants us to impact the world. There are no excuses. It might cost us our time, it might cost us our money, it might cost us our reputation, it might cost us something, but that doesn't matter in the light of God's kingdom. God has given us everything we need to do everything He has called us to do. Jesus Christ is our sufficiency, and there is nothing that we cannot do when we focus our eyes on Him and stop making excuses. Our competence comes from God. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world be lost? No, there is a cross to bear, and there's a cross that our world needs to see. Daniel Webster was a powerful orator, get this right in a minute, with a quick mind. That's where I spotted it, if someone else did. With a quick mind and way with words. And one day he left his two sons with specific instructions as he was going away. And on his return, he found the task wasn't done. So he called his two sons before him and he questioned them about this matter. He asked Ezekiel what he had done. And Ezekiel replied, "Nothing, Dad." So he turned to Daniel and he asked him the same question. And Daniel replied, "Helping Ezekiel, Dad." Work through that one. What excuses are you making today? What excuses are you making for not accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You've heard the message, you know the message. Why haven't you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Why haven't you confessed your sins and asked Him to come into your life and to change you, to cleanse you, to take away your sin, to give you hope for tomorrow, for today and for tomorrow? What excuse are you making for not serving Jesus, the King of Kings? What's your excuse? Do you want to serve the purposes of God in this generation? Or are you waiting for the next generation? Get to grips, do it today. You're in this generation. Stop making excuses and let God have all of you and start serving him today. With Moses, the rest of the story continues, doesn't it? You know it. Moses answers God's call. He leads the people of Israel out of Egypt, goes to the borders of the promised land. The will of God will never lead you where the power of God cannot enable you. So walk by faith in his promises. What will be the rest of your story? What will be the rest of your story? Will it be the 10 best excuses you can think of? Or will it be to lead the lost to glory? Because that's what Moses did. And that's what we are called to do. To share the gospel. It's not complicated. It's a message that changes people's lives. What's your excuse for not serving the Lord? I'm not judging you. It's a challenge to my own heart. What excuses do I put up? What excuses do you put up? All I can say is this. I want to serve the purposes of God in my generation. Before it's too late. And that's what you need to say. And let me tell you, if you commit yourself to that, God will honor you. And God will use you because he will fill you with his power. And he will give you the words to say. And it will help you to make an impact in someone's life. So many people around about us. Lost. What kind of impact will we make? Maybe God will want you to serve here. Out on the streets round about you here. Maybe he will call you to a faraway land. I don't know. God knows. But all I'm saying is this. Be willing to serve God. Let him have all that you have. The whole story of Moses, he would have missed out on this if he had kept on with his excuses. There'd been a different ending, maybe. But Moses gave his excuses to the Lord. And God took him and used him. And changed him. And gave him the faith to believe in the promises of God. You know, our lack of service for God says more about you than it does about anything else. I tell you, does I see it. When we're not willing to serve the Lord, then we're saying God's plans don't matter. And I'm not prepared to do that. For all the passion of my bones and my body, I want to serve the purposes of God in this generation. No excuses. Serve the Lord. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose you this day, whom you will serve. Let God take over. Don't be surprised at what comes out, because it's God.